I've saved one quote though. Can I keep you? That's it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Ew. Who's my doctor? Not this guy.
Who is indeed? I'm your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
I'm also your host, Cassie, and I don't know a lot about Doctor Who. I did not like that.
Got it, so I'll do that more often.
No, because you have to understand, I've gotten used to how you say it in my head. So when you flip the script and do something different, I am legitimately thrown off. Not autistic, but you broke the routine and now I need to like reset somehow.
Well, we can reset a little bit as we talk about Series 3, Episode 6, The Lazarus Experiment.
Lazarus.
Every time I've brought it up, you keep quoting Casper. Well, since you've quoted Lazarus so much.
Lazarus.
Why don't we start with the Cassie Profassi here? And you, why don't you tell me what you think the Lazarus Experiment might be?
Well, Lazarus is actually biblical. Mm-hmm. So it is the something is dead and is... by miracle, mm-hmm. Is being brought back to life. Mm-hmm. So this episode is about necromancy.
So you think that the Lazarus Experiment is about reviving the dead?
I think so, yeah. Okay. That makes the most sense to me.
Okay.
There would be no other, because we're not going to call it the necromancy experiment, the Jamie Kennedy experiment.
Necromancing the stone? And then for your second little bit of the Cassie Profassi today, in this episode, the doctor uses the sonic screwdriver to amplify an instrument. I'm going to let you, and I'm going to let it be open-ended here because there's so many instruments. I don't need you to get specific, but I'll let you guess a particular, like if you guess in the vicinity of the type of instrument that it is, you will get the point.
Now, do I get a clue musical instrument?
Yes, I do need a musical instrument.
Okay. So you said instrument. I also thought instruments of torture?
No.
Surgical instruments? Musical instrument.
Got the dark thoughts that just rattle around in your head. Where I say instruments and your first thought is, bloodletting.
Leeches.
Waterboarding. The sonic screwdriver will make waterboarding far more intense.
The sonic screwdriver makes... the stretchy chair.
Stretch even stretchier.
Not stretchy chair. It's the like stretch bed. Mm-hmm. Which, TBH, if I could just have like a very low grade medieval torture sesh where somebody's stretching my back out. Oh.
The doctor's like, I'm going to improve the resonance of this Iron Maiden.
Yeah. Why not?
But no,
these rats not hungry enough.
I do, but I do mean a musical instrument.
This bamboo instrument. Not growing fast enough. Did you know about that one?
I did not.
It's a form of Chinese torture where prisoners of war usually would be tied to the ground over a sprouting bamboo plant. Because if you know anything about bamboo, it grows incredibly fast. So within a matter of weeks, you would have this bamboo shoot that is just growing through a person.
Ew. Yeah. Gross.
Yeah. So bamboo not growing fast enough.
Oh no. So
rats not hungry enough. Bees not ravenous enough either. Cause that was another thing too, is not bees but flies. You would they would coat people in honey.
Not the bees. Yeah. Not the bees.
Yeah, they would coat people in honey and have flies and other vermin just eat at your flesh until you were beaten. Eaten, basically. I mean, over time you'd die from starvation and dehydration. But, you know, nature's already taking its course and you're halfway gone by the time you get there. Yeah, just some light listening today for our listeners.
However, this is not about torture. This is about Doctor Who.
This isn't about medieval instruments of torture. Triangle.
So you're guessing it's a triangle?
I mean, if we want to broaden it out, some kind of percussion instrument, but okay. Triangle or like, because I'm also thinking if we're going with the theme of death, mm-hmm. bells are often synonymous with like death and dying, you know, as the bell tolls. Mm-hmm. For whom the bell tolls, that might be the actual turn of phrase. Mm-hmm. And bells are considered percussion, right?
I would say for those purposes, I could count it as percussion. I believe they are percussion.
Yeah. So if I'm going to use terminology, but give it the broadest of terms, I'm going to say the doctor enhances a specific percussion instrument.
Okay.
I would be flabbergasted if it was indeed a triangle. But.
Well, let's find out together.
Very seldom do I get two things correct in these, so.
Well, let's find out together if the doctor amplifies a percussion instrument and if the Lazarus experiment is about reviving the dead as we watch Series 3, Episode 6, The Lazarus Experiment.
Lazarus!
This episode of Who Is My Doctor is brought to you by the letter C. For car! That's right.
The man car! Did you think you were safe? No one is safe from the man car. The only car that's allergic to vegetables. In fact, this car doesn't run on gas. It runs on the blood of great white sharks. But don't worry, the man car wins every fist fight he gets into, especially with great white sharks. That means fuel is absolutely free, as long as you don't think about how sad shark babies are. The man car. It'll make you popular, but not with women, because that would be gay.
And we are back from the Lazarus experiment.
Twice now. Twice I have had very strong gut feelings. Just so many of these prophecies are based off of what I'm learning from the show. Like AI art, I am learning. My fingers are getting better. My face proportions are getting more accurate. Why I can't figure out where to put the fingers, I don't fucking know.
Yes, Cassie.
Oh my god!
Cassie had claimed about the bells, and there was in fact a bell tower.
That was his original idea, was to go up to the bell tower.
Well, no, his plan was to get an end of the tower so he could play the pipe organ.
Oh my god. I am so irritated because I was on the track. Because they kept on talking about the bells, though. They brought it up twice.
Yeah, they brought up the cathedral, they brought up the bells, they really pointed out that church.
This happened the last time with the Statue of Liberty, where I said, ooh, okay, cool. Like, she's iconic. What an interesting place to have a battle outside of a woman. And this time I went, all right, if we're dealing with aliens, 9 times out of 10, the thing that you get them with is sound, vibrations, much like Venom. Mm-hmm. And I went, that feels so correct because I'm blanking out on when the first Venom comic came out. But just that idea about sound defeating an alien type thing, even though this one, according to the show, is of human origin, it mm-hmm. is still alien in its like primal nature, if that makes sense.
It's an there's nothing else like it, so it's alien in the sense that
it's alien to us, but yes, it is not exactly. Not of this world.
Yes.
I was so confident. Can you at least give me the first point for the Lazarus experiment?
Well, you did say it was about reviving the dead.
He was practically dead. He was a bag of bones.
But there's a big difference between mostly dead and all dead.
please, Zach, I am begging you on my hands and knees. My head is on the floor. Please, Zach, give me
one. I don't think we can cut either of these points
fucking
today.
Fucking point. Please, please, Zach.
I don't think we can cut these points.
No, Zach, please. I'm going to actually cry. Please. The people are going to be mad at you if you don't give me a point.
Well, they can hate the player, but they can't hate the game.
Zach,
and the rules
please.
Of the game are Cassie must predict
no.
the professy.
Zach, I was so close.
You were very close.
I said episode about necromancy. This is necromancy.
In fact, trying to even just find a point for you, I had to double check if a pipe organ is a percussion instrument, because you said a percussion instrument. A piano is a percussion instrument. A pipe organ is a woodwind instrument.
Oh, fuck off!
Yeah, it's effectively a big flute. So unfortunately, I can't count either of these points for the Cassie for Fassie today.
You're a dick. I do not love you in this moment. Bitch. The people are on my side.
Well,
you're going to get some hate from this.
I probably am, but we'll see how it goes.
Get in the comments. At WIMD pod.
Wimdy pod. That's WIMDPOD.
But don't message the Instagram, because I'm in charge of that one. So I support everything you say on the Instagram. Attack the Twitter. That's his
Attack
job.
The Twitter, the blue sky, and the threads. That's yeah. all me.
Instagram, though, that's me. If you sympathize with me, you can message me through that. At WimDPod at Instagram. Anyways.
So let's just maybe get past the Brafassi a little bit here today.
Yeah, fuck off about that. Moving on.
What did you think about the episode itself?
Oh, I thought it was fine.
Yeah, it's a good little, it's not, I wouldn't say that it's amazing, but it works. So the person playing Richard Lazarus is Mark Gatiss.
He's in something else that I recognize.
He's in a few things. He also wrote.
No, you know what I'm thinking. You know what I'm thinking of.
What's that?
The rich kid in Pee Wee's Big Adventure. That's not him, I don't think.
No, I would be surprised if it is. No. But Martin,
they have a similar like. Pompous quality.
Mark Gatiss is kind of a frequent face and name to appear on the BBC. He works on a few different projects. I know he's in Sherlock.
Another show I know so much about.
But I also, he wrote series one, episode three, The Unquiet Dead.
Okay, cool.
And so he is both a writer and an actor on the show. He actually comes back to play other parts later. And it's really, which is kind of a weird choice, because he doesn't have like, he's got a pretty unique face. He doesn't have, like, features that just sort of, like, look like...
He doesn't have the features of one Harold Saxon, who I know I remember the name. That man, though, just like every other man. No unique qualities about that man. No, no.
I will tell you, that person you saw is not Harold Saxon.
Harold Saxon.
Harold Saxon is a character that will come up later on in the series.
Saxon.
That was just someone that works for Harold Saxon.
Okay, even still.
Yes.
Irrespective.
Yes. This was Martha finally gets brought back home after her quote-unquote one trip in the TARDIS.
Yeah, her overnight excursion. Went to the past and...
Then to the future, and then to the past again. She experienced so many exciting things, like being stuck in traffic.
And
seeing a Shakespeare play.
And,
Going near the Statue of Liberty.
I was gonna say, I was trying to figure out the other was, but then I went, seeing a witch! And I went, wait, that is kind of exciting. Not for me, I see a witch every day.
It's me.
It is.
I'm the witch. And that's why you're going to burn me on Twitter. So yes, Mark Gatiss plays Richard Lazarus, who is...
Which also, wee-woo, old age makeup alert.
Yeah, because as soon as you see him, you went, that's old age makeup, right?
Yeah, and I was spending a better portion of the episode trying to figure out how I could tell. Just because the makeup, arguably, very good. But also, there was something about... It could have just been the elasticity of the skin.
Mm-hmm.
Which, now that I'm thinking about it, I think is probably that and the eyes, because it's hard to put a lot of stuff on your eyes and old age makeup. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is dragging down.
Yeah.
And you can't really apply too much to the actual eyeball
mm-hmm.
or the skin around it, just because that skin is incredibly thin mm-hmm. and delicate. So it does, and it is incredibly flexible, so nothing really sticks to it.
Yeah.
And then also, when you're old, your skin is like paper.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it feels like his skin is very thick.
Yeah.
Which is probably because they're applying a thick layer of makeup onto his face.
Which, you know, fair.
Yeah.
I was just playing the makeup artist game in my head of, how can I tell? Because fun fact, I thought for a very long time about going to school for special effects makeup like this.
Yeah, that would have been neat.
I mean, I still can.
Yeah, you still could.
It's just the school is $20,000.
Gross.
Yeah, and it's not really a bustling industry either.
It is fun. So talking about this being Martha's return back, the doctor makes a point that this is 12 hours later from when he picked her up.
My favorite is him leaving and then coming back going, I'm sorry, changing the course of human history?
Did you say he was going to change what it means to be human?
Yeah. Which means that he left, and for what was probably in TARDIS time, several minutes, going back and forth on, no, I shouldn't go back. I've already left her. It's hard to say goodbye. I've already said goodbye. But also he said, changing what it means to be human. That's just, not going back to his... what I wrote down as autistic sensory board a la TARDIS.
I mean, considering how well the Doctor flies the TARDIS, there's a very real chance that he went on days of adventures and then warped back saying, hang on, I've been thinking about this for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, fair. Considering that it left and came back as quickly as it did, I think he was only gone for like an hour.
I also wonder if he dropped Martha off 12 hours later to try and apologize for the fact that he fucked that up with Rose, because he tried to bring Rose back, quote, 12 hours later, and it was 12 months.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so it feels like he's still just repeating the same stuff with Rose. He's just trying to like make it better, I guess. But then what's funny to me is that, you know, 12 hours ago was when Martha was in a hospital that went to the moon, and nobody says anything about that.
Yeah, nobody says anything about that to her.
Yeah.
They're just, where have you been? Who is this? Where'd you meet him?
Yeah, where it's like, oh, Mom, I'm so happy to see you. And she's like, you saw me last night. And I'm like, yeah, and 6 hours before that, she was on the moon.
Yeah, she thought she was going to asphyxiate and die.
What do you mean? Why is she acting like that?
Like, be happy your daughter is happy to see you. Do you know how just ecstatic my mom would be if I saw her and my face lit up and I ran to her for a big old meaty hug? Do you know how thrilled she would be? Extremely so.
Yeah, it seems like that they wanted to like do the hand wave of like, no one's gonna have to even notice that you're gone, having not thought about what happened just slightly over 12 hours ago.
To be fair though, I also forgot that she was on the moon and almost died.
And saw the rhino police.
Not the monkeys.
So they go to the party for the Lazarus experiment, where the doctor yells at Nibbles. I love Nibbles.
Do you want to know what I heard?
What'd you hear?
Nipples.
Don't we all love a good nipple?
I mean, yeah, but
let you know, both of us do this podcast fully shirtless, nips out.
Well, I'm butt naked. I say as I could not be wearing more clothes inside at any given point.
And then Richard Lazarus jumps into his Lazarus tube.
Before that happens, though, when Martha's mom asks her what they've been doing, she just says, stuff?
No, actually, that's about it. We haven't had much time to chat. You know, been busy.
Busy? Doing what exactly?
You know, stuff.
And I'm, in my head, I'm going, wow, her mom thinks that they've been fucking this.
Because that's 100% what it sounds like. Oh, you know, we're doing things.
Yeah, we're doing stuff.
Things and stuff. Stuff.
Yeah, when I tell people, what did you do this weekend? Oh, just stuff. They don't know that I've been spending my time crocheting a scarf for an outfit for the fourth doctor. And now I'm making granny squares with the same yarn so I can make a fourth doctor themed blanket.
I'm glad you like the fourth doctor so much.
I like that he has a color palette. It makes me feel much better.
Feel safe. Feel safe in that rainbow.
Well, because so far the only color palettes I've seen is black, which a classic, but not really. Black is for witches and vampires. Mm-hmm. And Davy Tenney, who's wearing mainly dark blue, brown, like maybe a pop of red, but there's nothing, there isn't a lot that you can do with that. But Tom Baker's got the ye old scarf of many colors.
You're probably gonna really like Matt Smith's final outfit then, because he wears an all purple suit.
Pimp.
All purple tweed suit.
Classy pimp.
We'll see how you feel when we get there.
Yeah. All purple suit. So he's Willy Wonka.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Cool.
Anyway, so Richard Lazarus gets de-aged in the Lazarus experiment. And then everyone like marvels at him while he takes his wife upstairs and just proceeds to be the absolute cattiest bitch to her.
My favorite line, which I'll let everybody at home know. When we're watching these episodes, I keep to myself. I'm taking my little notes. Very rarely do I actually say anything out loud in the episode, because if I have any thoughts or silly things I want to say, I write those down so I can do them here. So I get a genuine actual laugh out of my co-host, Zach. This was one of the first times that I went, oh, whoa, because...
Well, at least one of the first non-Dalek times you've done that.
Dr. Mr. Lazarus, as he's talking to his wife, as she's telling him about, you know, how much money they're going to make and how many lives they're
going to
change.
And how they're going to be young and rich together.
And they're going to live like this forever. He goes, and I quote,
"You think I'd waste another lifetime on you?"
Oh my God! Ouch!
It's the same energy as Same energy as Frozen's. If only you had someone that loved you.
Well, you said Frozen. I thought you meant Frozone. I went. His lines are iconic. What do you mean?
So it's
where's my super suit?
It's worth noting that Mark Gatiss is a gay man, which explains why he's really good at delivering such catty dialogue.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's.
I mean, it's really good, though.
Yeah, it's really good. But I think that's part
of
the reason.
If only there was someone who loved you.
Yeah, I think there's a reason why it just like really jabs at you that way. Is it just feels like it feels twice the punch when you know
because he
means it.
That means then that we're not seeing an entire lifetime, nor do we need to. But this is a man who has decided in the moments between being very old and basically a corpse. I would say, effectively dead corpse, man. Padding my argument.
He was 76. He was not dead.
Dead. That man's dead. A life gone. Hey, more people get done. More people get stuff done in 20 years than some do in 80. You ever think about that? That's a quote from this episode. But that between those moments, he then decided, like, okay, cool. This bitch, I'm done with. I haven't loved her. There's been no love. I haven't loved her in years, which I've heard did you hear about that man that fully killed his wife because he was upset that they were eating pancakes again?
No.
Yes. It was a story a while back. I heard it on one of my podcasts, my other podcasts, about a man who was upset that his wife had made them like pancakes for breakfast and was angry with her because he had said he didn't want this. And she said, that's too bad. He stabbed her with a kitchen knife. And I went, that stabbing wasn't about the pancakes. That was about something else.
Excuse me one second. I need to take a note down. Don't make pancakes for dinner.
You know, if you made me pancakes, I would forgive you for not giving me any fucking thing.
Do make pancakes for dinner.
He's like, do we want pancakes? This is actually real talk now.
We could do pancakes.
I'm not podcasting
anymore. We could do breakfast for dinner.
Pancakes.
As they're having their catty little argument, Lazarus drinks his wife.
Oh my God.
As the doctor describes it, like squeezing all the juice from an orange.
Yeah. Do you want to know how I described it? Would you like to know how I wrote it down?
Sure.
It started off with the thought of, could you imagine watching a person's life essence get sucked from their body like a Capri Sun?
It's like someone's, we kind of saw that actually, because I was in the first episode of this season. Someone literally stuck a straw in people and drank them.
Yeah, but like, could you just imagine walking into a room and seeing like a Dementor style, like, yum, delicious. Your not even your soul, like your life force. Like, there's no other way to describe it. Just gone. I slurped up because it started with him eating an entire tray of hors d'oeuvres, which slay.
Vibes. Yeah.
Same. That's both me and Zach at parties. Why just grab up a little snackaroony when the servers are walking by when you could just hand me the tray? I'll take care of it myself. I'll bus it myself too. I'll put it back.
Gib tray. Lazarus then takes Martha's sister up to the roof.
Tish.
Yeah.
She's in charge of PR.
Takes her up to the roof, seemingly of two minds, because we've seen him already, like, when he was an old man, be like a little creep on her.
And ask her, what perfume is this? And she responds with, soap. Delicious.
But now that he's, like, a young man of early 40s...
Is he? His age was ambiguous.
Yeah, the original Lazarus was...
like, old man Lazarus is 76.
Yes, but Mark Gatiss at the time was 40.
Okay, awesome. He did not look 40.
Yeah, he obviously takes very good care of his skin. But it is also just like, he's clearly like... Even after the de-aging process, is probably minimum 15 years older than Tish is.
Yeah.
Like, even if you assume late 30s, that's still more than a decade older than Tish is. But she's like, weirdly into it now, just because he's old creepy man.
I mean, it's also one of those things of, whoa, I just saw you perform a miracle. You're gonna make millions.
I guess there is something to be said of, if I make out with you, I get a lot of money.
It's the idea. It's the same thing that happens with me, I think, when I go to see theater sometimes, where I'm like, this actor, this person they got to play the main lead, they're not that attractive, but by the end of them, I'm head over heels. Why? Because they're talented and they've spent the last 2.5 hours proving to me just how talented they are. I'm talking specifically about Reeve Carvey. Every time and time again, I go, psh, this guy's got nothing. This Peter Parker, forget about it. But then you hear him as Orpheus.
Oh. So they're on the roof and the doctor comes to rescue them just as Lazarus turns into a giant scorpion monster.
Yeah, I was a little confused about the design of that. I know that it was based off of, like, it's all human in origin. It's not alien. These are recessive genes that can be buried and masked over time.
Yeah, like there were the things that evolution could have taken you to but didn't for one reason or another. And I'm like, that's a little bit of a stretch.
Well, particularly considering how large the monster was. And that was the part where I was like, I can buy into literally everything else. It's simply the sheer size of this creature.
And that it still has a human face.
Its face reminded me a little bit of the I know I'm going to botch the name. The collector's face in Avatar.
Oh.
Yeah, the face collector.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, yeah, the face dealer.
It had a similar quality for that, and mm-hmm. I think that's just because the eyes are dead.
Yeah, and the whole thing just looks a little too wet.
A little too wet and also a little too smooth.
Yeah, the CG, I mean, it was 2006 on a TV budget. For what it is, it looks pretty nice.
Yeah, but why did it have to be so damn big?
Yeah.
That don't make no sense. You don't need a big, smaller monsters are scary. You make that the size of a garden lizard, woof.
He just turns into an actual scorpion and just like chasing him around with his little feet.
Yeah, but could you imagine how much scarier that is to watch that bitch suck out your life force? It just takes him a little longer.
The whole climax, instead of taking place at a church, is just them trying to step on him. Come here, you.
Trying to get him under.
Get back here, Mark Gatiss.
Yeah, just trying to get him under a cup so they could yeet him into the garden.
Just coming at him with one of those like electric rackets.
Got everything but Mark Gatiss.
And so the way they save themselves is by hiding inside Lazarus's machine because he won't destroy his precious creation.
Which, fair.
Yeah. I mean, it also is just a little bit like, how do you know he's still like at that kind of high function? Because he sort of just seems like a monster.
Yeah. Well, because the entire I guess his logic more or less is trying to figure out how to get into the machine. Because I think monster version didn't know where the door was.
My favorite is when the monster like comes over and pushes the button. Yeah, just like very like, I'm doing science here and boop.
Well, yeah, because he had to make the button so damn pressable. He basically went to Staples and got one of the, like, easy. That was easy. That's basically what that button was.
Yeah, and it's, I did like that as the doctor is like rewiring it, he just takes a moment to look at Martha and go, nice shoes, by the way.
I also appreciate that. Any sort of like throwaway line like that, love it.
There's a moment when they step out of the Lazarus machine, he goes, it shouldn't take that long to reverse the polarity. I must be out of practice. You wouldn't know this yet, but that's a third doctor thing.
Mm.
The third doctor's solution to almost every technological problem is just reverse the polarity.
Wow.
I think one of the most common quotes from him is reverse the polarity of the neutron flow, which means nothing. That means nothing.
Right now is just the sound of a desert wind blowing through my brain.
The tumbleweed scratching your left lobe. So yeah, that's
far off. There's a coyote looking for a snack. Ow!
That's a reference to the third doctor, who you'll actually see soon. We're going to take a stop at the third doctor here in a couple episodes.
All aboard, third doctor. <Choo-choo. laughs>
Doctor, hoo-hoo.
Oh, that's silly. That's a way sillier joke.
But the doctor manages to reverse the polarity, and it shoves the energy out of the machine, which then pushes Scorpion Lazarus into just being a regular naked man again.
He's human again, only human again.
Until he decides to run away. At his
No, he gets put into an ambulance with a... It's a little ambiguous because he's wheeled into the ambulance with a red sheet, like, covering his whole body.
Yeah.
But it's covering his face, too. So I think we're supposed to believe that he's dead.
Yeah.
Even though he's not technically in a body bag, but also never have you ever been wheeled into, at least me, never have I ever been wheeled into an ambulance being covered from toe to face.
But you see, it was very important that he had that red blanket, though, Cassie, so he could hide his little pee-pee.
Yeah.
Because when he runs away to the nearby chapel to hide, as he did when he was a boy, he still has the red sheet wrapped around him. And it's wrapped around him even as he chases Martha and Dish through it. Like, he's being very careful, like, you can't see my nipples or my pee-pee. You're not allowed to see. Tumblr rules.
Zach, that's a joke that's only funny for us.
I think it's funny, irrespective.
Because it's his wing wang.
Yeah, and when he's like, when he gets halfway up the stairs, he starts changing again. And he's like flailing back and forth. And Cassie's because you better hang on to that. You better hang on to that towel. And he turns into a monster, is chasing around the church like, what do you think of my wing wang now?
Yeah, where'd the towel go?
He left it on the stairs.
Oh. Now the towel is being abandoned, just like he was as a kid.
And the doctor runs the other way to climb up to a pipe organ. Where the pipe organ, he cranks it up to 11. I don't know if you caught that. He cranks it up to sound volume 111%.
I did catch that. I didn't know if that was significant for any.
I don't know
how pipe organs work.
I mean,
genuinely, this isn't even like a, I don't know how they work in the context of this, though. I sincerely do not know how pipe organs work. They might as well be witchcraft. This isn't even a bit, dude. Nobody try to explain it to me either. I like believing that they are magic. That is how God speaks to us.
When I say, I think the doctor cranked it all the way up and then cranked it 11% higher than it should technically be able to go. And so the noise of it makes him like clutch his delicate ears and fall down several floors and land and die.
Land, and as he reverts back to human,
his leg is still cut. He's like laying over, so his leg is covering over his other leg.
Yeah, it was just very tasteful landing.
It's just like, because you even know, in death, you cannot see my pee-pee.
Because you know that if you kersplat on the floor, your bits is going everywhere.
I mean, I also feel like if I curse splat on the floor, there's going to be a puddle of blood underneath me that was not under him.
I think in that defense, we don't know that that monster bled.
Yeah, I guess we don't. But then after he turns back into young Mark Gatiss, he then gets his old age makeup back again as the doctor closes the corpse's eyes.
Ugh, he has thick-skinned, flabby cheek.
Wrinkles in the wrong places.
No, the wrinkles were in the right place. It just looked weird.
And then
I did like, though, before we move forward, I did like the ongoing conversation that the doctor was having with Lazarus about time,
mm-hmm.
and living multiple lives, because in essence, that's the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what the doctor has been doing,
mm-hmm.
for
hundreds of years,
centuries, basically. Yeah. And it's just interesting to hear his argument against himself, basically, mm-hmm. because that's all he ever does is regenerate and become somebody new and live a different lifetime, basically, mm-hmm. or, you know, has the option of living a different lifetime,
mm-hmm.
but instead dies often because of, what was it that happened with some of the doctors? He fell off a bike.
Yeah, one fell off a bike, one fell a few, like a couple floors worth of height. One of them got shot. That was fun.
In all three hearts? Two, but still.
Yeah. One, so we'll get to it eventually, but the seventh doctor regenerates into the eighth by stepping out of the TARDIS right as a gang drives by and he gets shot. And then he regenerates at the hospital. One just dies from old age.
That's different, though.
Actually, a couple technically just die from old age.
Yeah.
Their way of phrasing it is wearing a bit thin.
It's just fun to it's I always enjoy the existential dread of immortals.
Yes. Well, because there's something to be said about why the doctor really likes humans. And so they unveil a few reasons why. And one of them is that humans are a species that know they are going to die. And they live in spite of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think part of him is like, Because you have to wonder how Time Lord society reflects that as a society that does not die. In fact, they put in a lot of safeguards in their own longevity to make sure they don't die.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also this conversation that the Doctor and Martha's mother are having throughout the episode.
Less a conversation and more Martha's mother is getting information about the Doctor through an unknown source. Mm-hmm. And my thing is always, why are you going to believe somebody over... Why are you going to believe one stranger over another, basically?
Yeah. Well, it also seems like she just... She has an intrinsic distrust of the Doctor, presumably because it just seems like, as far as she's aware, Martha's only known him for less than 12 hours, and he's also implied they've had a lot of sex. Those are the two things that she's heard so far.
Oh, he implied nothing.
And then they immediately ran headfirst into danger that put her that put Martha's life at risk. So I'm sure there's a part of her that's just like, I'm already predisposed to dislike this person and I'm being fed information that confirms my bias.
Mm, fair.
But speaking of Martha, Martha is now officially a companion. She is not just coming along for one ride. She's formally invited along. And I really enjoyed that scene of that too, where she's like, I can't just keep doing one ride. If I'm going to come along, I want to be like a full partner. And he goes, okay, if that's what you want. And she assumes it's a no. But the Doctor's like, why are you mad? I said okay.
Yeah, that's a very you thing to have happen. What do you mean? I said the words. Yeah, but you didn't say them in a way that made me believe your conviction. Once again, with passion.
Once again, I expected something to go one way, and I accepted the way that confirmed my bias.
Yeah. But at the very end, we hear the name Harold Saxon.
Yes, Martha's
Am
mom
I supposed
is the voice.
To remember who that is? Have we interacted with this Harold Saxon before?
No, you have not met Harold Saxon before. We have heard the name Saxon before. His name was brought up in the first episode of the show as well.
Okay,
but you have not seen Harold Saxon yet.
Okay,
that is a later down the line character
in the first episode of the new series.
In the first episode of this season.
This season, did I write his name down at all?
I don't think you did. I don't think it stood out to you as an important moment in that one.
Not at all related. In one of my previous notes, I just write, Glamantha! I guess I didn't write that down.
Yeah, no, they mentioned Harold Saxon at the very beginning of this season.
Damn it.
But this is the first, well, they didn't really make a big deal of it. They just sort of threw him out as a name. This is the first time it's been made a deal. And so we might find out what's up with Mr. Harold Saxon on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Stop, please.
So as you heard in this episode, we will be taking another dip into the classic series soon. Not next week's episode, but the episode after, we'll be watching Terror of the Autons, the third Doctor story that first introduced Roger Delgado as the Master. I'm really excited about it, I really think she's going to like it, and if you liked this episode, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. Give it a like or 5 stars or leave us a nice review. I've recently started sharing nice reviews on our social media, so if you leave one and would like me to share it, you can follow us on Twitter, Blue Sky Threads, and Instagram at WIMDPod. That's WIMDPOD. Next week, we'll be meeting the future showrunner Chris Chibnall in his first episode, 42. We'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whose Days.